great to see so many of you here this morning, especially during vacation time. You know, I know there'll be some away next Sunday on vacation and some away are away this Sunday. Some of you have already been away, of course, but we're glad you're here. Great to see Sam and Sarah back, refreshed from their honeymoon, their time away, ready to begin a new life together. Amen. Well, I got the clicker, but it's not clicking. Hello, clicker. Hello, clicker. Da, 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 da. Ah, there we go. Whoop, that went way back. That's way back at the da-da-da-da. That I need to go to the beginning here. Dan, you want to take control and put it in the beginning, please? First slide, please. And then give it back to me. So while Dan, okay, here we go. I think we're getting it now. Bingo. Oh, it just left. Well, while we're waiting, I've been very moved to prayer and to contemplation about our city of Baltimore, as even as we were down there Saturday, our rat-infested city. Yeah, most cities are. How many of you know that in 1934, they said there were more rats in Baltimore than there were people? That's before President Trump or Representative Elijah Cummings was born. Yeah, how about that? In fact, how many of you are in Elijah Cummings' district? I am. Yeah, I'm in his district. I voted for him last year. I'll be quite honest. I voted for that man because I think he's a good man. But believe it or not, in terms of the bigger picture, Baltimore is number 9 on the list of rat-infested cities. And number 1 is Chicago. Number 4 is Washington, D.C. So that means there are more rats in Washington than in Baltimore. And I'll leave you with that, okay? So, all right. So, Fred shared shared in May. How can we change the world was his message. And then he shared in July, is God good? And I want to borrow from both of those messages and what I wish to share with you this morning. In both messages, he referenced the Ten Commandments. And I want to build on that and look at it from a different perspective this morning. He stated that only a good God could give us good laws. How many would say yes and amen to that? And so the title of my message is Living the Life That God Intended for Us. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you again for this morning, for all that's transpired. Even as I opened the service, I had no idea that we'd be having the extended time of prayer we had, which was so rich and so precious, I know, as we interceded on behalf of the victims of these recent shootings. And Lord, the testimonies that were shared, and just so many ways in which you are honored and glorified today. And just pray that that would continue in these remaining minutes, and we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I found a cartoon many weeks ago, just a little over a week ago, Hagar the Horrible, about the commandments, and I saved it for this morning, and then all of a sudden I decided to do a little research. Well, how many cartoons talk about the commandments? Well, there are a lot of them, believe it or not. Here's Dennis the Menace. You'll be glad to know that I only broke 3.5 commandments today. Family Circus, and those are the Ten Commandments. And then the father said, now let's go back and review my favorite, Honor Thy Daddy and Mommy. How about this one? Especially you in the business world, you'll really appreciate this. So are these guidelines, management proposals, or written in stone policies? here's the one from Hagar. Stealing my belongings is sin. And Hagar says, well, at least I'm no longer coveting them. And finally from Snuffy, can you help me, Uncle Snuffy? I got to learn the Ten Commandments for Sunday school. That's easy, Jughead. I'm just reading the way it is, okay? Just write, thou shall not, a whole bunch of times. Well, as Fred reminded us in one of his messages in John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And in verse 21, he says, who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then lastly, in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Romans chapter 7, Paul writes in verse 7, what should we say then? Is the law sin? Absolutely not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin if it were not for the law. For example, I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, do not covet. Then in verse 12, so then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher of more than a century ago, love for Christ in the power of the Spirit is the energy, I put engine, of the Christian life. But that love needs tracks on which to run. That engine needs tracks on which to run, if it is ever to get to its intended destination. God's commandments provide us with those tracks. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So what is the purpose of God's law? Okay. Let me just give you three things to chew on. Number one, to show the sinfulness of men and women in their moral and in their moral distance from God. Number two, to demonstrate our need for a mediator in order to approach God. And number three, and this is where I'm going to mostly focus today, to outline how we should live more abundantly by using as our God the unchangeable perfections of the nature of God as revealed in his moral law. The laws in the Bible reflect in large measure the way ancient societies were structured. God's revelation speaks into that context. You know, when God spoke his law into the earth, there was chaos in the world. Everybody agrees, yes? You know, the other nations and civilizations that were in existence were living in chaos. So God speaks into that context. The laws in the Bible do not seek to restructure society, but to affect how people live and think and the societal structure that they have. The laws do not seek to transform a patriarchal society into an egalitarian one. They do not seek, they do not promote a democratic society over a monarchy. They do not endorse clan solidarity over individualism. But they do this. The laws of the Bible seek to transform how people live in whatever sort of society they find themselves. No societal structure is flawless. It is always subject to the next nature of the people who are part of it. Would you agree? I mean, as much as I love our nation and as much as democracy I believe is the best form of government, it's imperfect. Yes? Okay. But no matter where we live as believers, we are citizens of the kingdom of God, first and foremost. So whether we live in America, or whether we live in China, or whether we live in persecuted North Korea, or whether we live in Southeast Asia, or Africa, or South America, it doesn't make any difference. Where we live, no matter what form of government we're existing under, it's our responsibility to be the people God's called us to be, to live the light that he's called us to live out in the way in which he's called us to live our lives. So let's watch this little video on guardrails. needs one until they do. The Ten Commandments are guardrails for our lives. And any of you ever driven on a road, a windy, mountainous road without guardrails? Yeah, it's a little frightening, isn't it? Yes, it can be very frightening. And God has given us guardrails to live our lives. So what are the Ten Commandments? We haven't really gone through them up to this point. So let's read them together. This is from the Complete Jewish Bible. I am Adonai, your God. First of all, then God said all of these words. I am Adonai, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. You are to have no other gods before me. You are not to make for yourselves a carved image of any kind or a representation of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them. For I, Adonai your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation for those who hate me, but display grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot. Remember the day, Shabbat, to set apart for God. You have 6 days to labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat for Adonai your God. On it you're not to do any kind of work, not you, your son or your daughter, not your male or female slave, not your livestock, and not the foreigner staying with you inside the gates to your property. For in 6 days Adonai made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why Adonai blessed the day, Shabbat, and separated it for himself. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land which Adonai your God has given you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false evidence against your neighbor. And do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female slave, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, I'd like to share with you what Robert Grant shared in a message. The outline for it comes from this. I'm going to add my own thoughts. But actually, in 2008, on our men's retreat, the 10 U-word commandments of God. So what I want us to do is take a look at the 10 commandments from a different perspective. Okay? And walk with me through this. I think you'll appreciate it. There's our beautiful city of Baltimore as we look at the first one. So God said, have no other gods before him. So the first that he's saying to us is that we are to have an undivided heart. Isn't that interesting? He said, have no other gods before me. He obviously doesn't want us to worship other gods. But what was happening in Israel and continued to happen even after the Ten Commandments were delivered is that, and we can understand this because their life was dependent upon things like rain and other circumstances that we don't have to be as worried about in this day and age. And so they're saying, okay, well, God, we love you, we worship you, but we want to worship this other idol too, just in case he is the one that's going to bring the rain. And God said, no. He said, you're to worship me only. Jesus said, we're to seek first what? The kingdom of God. In Psalm 86, verse 11, it says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me and what? An undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Now, there's a relatively new translation called The Voice. And in The Voice, those words are stated this way. O eternal God, guide me along your path so that I will live in your truth. Unite my divided heart so that I'll fear your great name. Isn't that interesting? Unite my divided heart. I love that. So that I may fear your name. An undivided heart. The second one he said, have no idols before me. Undiluted worship. I don't, I, and this isn't, actually, this is beyond me, okay? I've read some very astute theologians, okay? If I'm a theologian, it's with a small t, okay? These guys are with capital T's, okay? And they cringe at the way people take liberties with this verse. You know, how we can worship sports, or we can worship TV, or we can worship movie stars as an idol. And I understand why people, preachers, preach that and everything else. I've done it before myself in the past. But they said that when God was delivering his word, the idols he was talking about, it was a whole different situation. And it's like what's happening today in India with Hinduism, where they worship idols. Okay? Same type of thing. In other words, this idol is what I'm worshiping. This idol, these idols, plural, are what I'm worshiping. I'm not worshiping the one true God. And sacrifices were made to the idols. In fact, children were sacrificed to idols and all sorts of other things. And God's saying, that's not what I want you doing. But today, we still have the problem of creating God in our image. How many of you heard the phrase, God helps those who help themselves? Got that right. Thank you, Nick. How about all roads lead to heaven, regardless of whom you worship? That's become very popular today. Okay? Doesn't make any difference. But, you know, we can laugh at that, but there's a mistake we can make. We can worship the Bible over the God of the Bible. I love God's Word. I love to study God's Word. I love to dig in, and I read it every day. But there are people of our faith, and I was talking to a couple years ago a man who is an elder in a church, and I won't name the church, but it's of a more Reformed tradition. And we're talking about this very subject. He goes, yeah, you know something? I believe the elders in this church, this is what he said, I believe the elders in this church worship the Bible more than they worship God. See? The purpose of God's word is to reveal to us God himself. And that's who we worship. That's why it's so important to read, to learn, to understand, to meditate upon, to memorize the Word of God, because it reveals to us the Father. And that's who God wants us to know. He wants us to know himself. So we have an undivided heart, undiluted worship, and then we have, in number three, do not take the name of the Lord in vain, undiminished power. Undiminished power. Now, why would I say that? Well, there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. You know, it bugs me, and forgive me, if you've said this, please don't take it personally, but it bugs me. I see it all the time, particularly in public places. People pray a prayer, and in the end they say, in your name we pray, amen. In your name. Yeah, whose name? Why can't we say, in Jesus' name? You know, and I know people are concerned about being politically correct, but you know, you can say, if you're in a situation like that, you can say, I'm going to, you've asked me to pray, you've asked me to open this ceremony in prayer, I'm going to pray in accordance to my faith, with my faith, in accordance with my faith. Because there's, when Peter and John were walking in the temple, and there's this man lame, they said he was there every day, and he'd been lame since birth. So what does that tell you? A long time. Guess who else walked through that gate? Jesus. Guess what? Jesus never prayed for that man. Why? We don't know. But if he'd been there every day, and lame since birth, we know if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, right? Deductive reasoning. We know he was there. So what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but in his name rise up and walk. Is that what he said? No. He said in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And what happened? Boom. Bingo. Oh, bingo. I don't know why I said that. Okay, boom. He rose up and walked. There's power in the name of Jesus. And God says, don't use my name in vain. Use it the way it was intended to be used. in prayer and thanksgiving and adoration and bringing about healing and deliverance and forgiveness and all the many other ways in which his name can be used. Undivided heart, undiluted power, or undiluted worship, excuse me, undiminished power. Keep the holy Sabbath or Shabbat, uninterrupted rest. What we're saying there is my future is dependent upon God, not my efforts. I've studied world religions. There's no other religion. We're talking about the Judeo-Christian faith. There's no other religion that says, take a Sabbath. Isn't that amazing? Here, God, the creator of the entire universe, is saying to you and me, I want you to take one day and rest. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He's not a taskmaster. And we are the problem because we have a problem with that. Now, again, Sunday's not the Sabbath. Saturday is. We worship on Sunday. There are people who worship on Saturday. We can argue that whole point. I'm not here to do that this morning. But I do believe for every one of us, we need a day of rest. Amen. We need a day of rest. And whatever that means for you, for all of us, it can be different. But for me, I honestly try to make it Sunday, even though I preach and other things. But the rest of the day, I don't do things like fill up my gas tank on Sunday, go to the grocery store on Sunday. I try not to do those things. I try to make it a different day, a day of rest. And I sometimes do Mondays, which I have that privilege that all of you don't have. And again, I try to just disengage from the stuff of daily life, you know. Because God said, if you do that, what's he going to do? He's going to bless us. He's going to bless the 6 days of labor as though they were seven or even more. He did that. He showed that with the harvest cycle, didn't he? He had the ground lay fallow, and they had even more than they anticipated. I know I need to move on. Okay. Number five, honor your father and mother. Unashamed identity. We honor what is honorable because it is pleasing to God. I wanted to share with you a number of scriptures here. I'm running out of time, but Matthew 15, verse 4, you know the scripture where Jesus, actually, let's go to that one if we can, because that one is worth, all of them are worth looking at, but that one, I can't share it as well as I can read it. Matthew 15, beginning with verse 4. He answered them, and why do you break God's commandments because of your tradition? He's talking to the Pharisees. Honor your father and mother, and the one who speaks evil of his father and mother must be put to death. But you say, whoever tells his father or mother whatever benefit you might have received from me is a gift committed to the temple. Quran is the word that you'll see in other translations. That's not Aramaic. What Aramaic word? Excuse me. That's couldn't find the word there. Aramaic. He does not. He goes on to say he does not have to honor his father. Let me read that again. Whatever benefit you might have received from me is a gift committed to the temple. He does not have to honor his father. In this way, you revoke God's word because of your tradition. Hypocrites. Jesus was not very nice with his word sometimes. So what was happening? They were saying, I have this money that's designated to support my aging parents. Because I'm so spiritual, I'm going to give it to the temple and I'm not going to take care of my parents. Whoa. 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 God says we're to honor our father and mother. That is our entire lifetimes, as long as our father and mother are alive. He doesn't make any qualifications. I tried to do this with my mom until her passing a year ago. Always tried to speak words of respect and approbation and tried to honor her in ways that I could, even though she died at 95. So, yeah, that's what God wants us to do. And I've continued to. Thank you, Rudy. Thank you very much. I received that as a compliment. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, so we are to honor our parents. We can honor their memory. We can honor them in their lifetime. That is our responsibility. Oh, there it is. Lost my clipper. All right, next, number six. Do not murder. Do not murder. Oh, by the way, I failed to mention and honor your father and mother, Ephesians 6, verse 2. I think you all know it. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with what? A promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Number six, do not murder. Unhindered living. I tell you, Jesus, he just kept raising the bar, didn't he? He just kept raising the bar. He said that, you've heard it said that you're not to murder, but if you even speak wrongly about a person, if you even call them names, guess what you're doing? You're murdering their reputation. You have heard that it was said to our ancestors, do not murder. This is Matthew 5. And whoever murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, fool, will be subject to the Sanhedrin. Whoever says, this is the Holman translation, whoever says, you moron, will be subject to hellfire. Wow. Pretty strong words, isn't it? We're not supposed to take another person's life. But yet, we're also not supposed to speak words that are damaging. We all grew up hearing that phrase, sticks and stones can may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many know that's not true? That's not true. Yeah, we all know that's not true. It's not true. I'm digressing, forgive me, and I need to be careful here. But last Sunday, I was a mess because of the news of what our president had said about Elijah Cummings and our district. That I took that personally. That hurt me. I just confess that. Okay. His words hurt me. Okay. Words hurt. We can't control other people, what they say. We need to be careful about what we say. That's our responsibility. That's your responsibility and my responsibility, to be careful about what we say. Jesus, these aren't my words. These are the words of Jesus. This is what he said to you and to me. We're members of his kingdom. And so we need to watch what we say. All right, moving on. Number seven, do not commit adultery. Undefiled marriage covenant. Being faithful to the one whom God has called you. And in the next verses there in Matthew, Jesus speaks about not committing adultery. Do not commit adultery. But I tell everyone who looks at a woman to lust after has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Wow. That's pretty high, isn't it? That's raising the bar way up there. And I'm sorry, women. You know, so often people get upset these days because we don't say men and women. We say mankind instead of people or all those kinds of things. I get that. But this is one where women, you're on board too, okay? I've seen women look lustfully. And I've known of women who have acted lustfully. And on and on and on. I can go on forever. I'm not going to, okay? So it applies to all of us, men and women. Do not even look lustfully at another person. And I realize none of us is perfect. That's why Jesus came to die for us. But that's the goal we aspire to, right? Yeah, because what happens when we do look lustfully at another person? What are we doing? We're demeaning. We're depreciating that person. We're depreciating their value. And wow, is that ever important today? the value of women and the value of men both has been greatly depreciated in our society. And we of all people should be the ones who should be elevating the role of men and women, and elevating them and appreciating them and not depreciating them. You can say amen. Amen. All right, I'll say amen. Preach it. Do not steal. Unviolated wealth. Guess what one of the greatest sources of theft in the world today is? Bingo. Paul, say it again. Identity theft. Over $4 billion, well over that, in identity theft. Wow. Stealing someone else's identity. There's an Arab proverb that says that all the laws are summed up in one: do not steal. Now, that's really interesting if you think about it, because if I commit adultery, I'm stealing another man's what? Wife. If I steal, obviously, I'm stealing something. If I worship another god, I'm stealing what? Affections from our god, aren't I? So you can, if you go through the whole list here, if I'm murdering somebody, I'm stealing that person's life. Isn't that interesting? So many of them can be summed up in that one phrase: do not steal. Unviolated wealth. Number 9, do not testify falsely against your neighbor. Unblemished character. We talked about this a little earlier. I kind of jumped ahead in one sense, but do not damage another person's character. Protect the value of a person's reputation. And number 10, do not covet. Uncompromised desire. To covet is added meaning more than wishing you had it. It means to set your desires and affections on another person's stuff with the point of taking it for yourself. Again, I believe God wants us to turn this around. And he wants us to not only not covet our neighbor's stuff, but he wants us to bless our neighbors. Are you asking God to show you ways to bless your neighbors? Are we doing like everybody else in America and living in isolation? God, how can I bless my neighbor? Well, you don't understand my neighbor, Randy. There's no qualification. Tom, where is Tom? Tom McClay. Right, there he is. Tom, thank you. Tom brings us this great food every week. Thank you, Tom, brother. Yes, thank Tom, all right? Thank you. All right. I take a bag home, and I put it on my neighbor's doorknob. Now, my neighbors are from Baltimore City. They live in Section 8 housing. I'm constantly reaching out to them, looking for ways for God to help me serve them. They had the SWAT team come in their house a year ago. The mother lost her son tragically he was shot in Baltimore. He was involved in some bad stuff. And we're just, Lynn and I are constantly reaching out. I take one of those bags every Sunday and I bless them continually. And I want to share with you another story of blessing. Some of you saw this on Facebook and some of you probably wonder what the story was behind the story. So my brother Chris, bless him, takes me to an Orioles game every year. Bless you, brother. Sorry we didn't get to go last night. They had a great game last night, it looked like, from what I read. Yeah, was it good? Okay, yeah, we lost. But anyway, so we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, Chris is on the end, then me. All of a sudden, all these young men start filling in next to us and behind us, this whole area, and I'm hearing them speak Russian. So I'm going, wow, what is this? Well, they're all sailors in the Ukrainian Navy. How many remember our brother Anton? We all loved Anton, didn't we? God bless him. Anybody remember where he was from? Yeah, Ukraine, but where? Zhytomyr. So the guy sitting right next to me was from the same city. I'm thinking, Lord, something's going on here. We could have sat anywhere in the stadium, okay? And you may know there are not a lot of people going to the ball game these days, so there are a lot of seats we could have sat in, you know? And this is the one spot these guys are filling in. I'm saying, God, what's up here? And I felt like the Lord say to me, bless them. Bless them. Rob Dorsey used to always say, bless them, bless them. You know, I want you to bless them. You know, and I said, okay, well, Lord, how can I bless them? I said, the guy behind me, do these guys drink beer? Y'all, he said, oh, yeah. Do you like American beer? Yeah. I thought, I don't know if that's the best idea. And I thought, well, I started doing calculating. You may know alcohol is really expensive at the ballpark. So I'm talking about, I'm thinking, wow, that'd be $410. Not sure about that. You know, now, how many of you know that if that was God's will, okay, I'm not saying it is or was, but if it was, that he could replace that $400? Amen. So I said, okay, Lord, how about a soda in one of those fancy commemorative cups, okay? All right, that sounds pretty good, right? That's like $5. So now it's $200. I'm thinking, you know, I mean, Lord, if it's your will, I'll do it, you know? So I just didn't feel peace about it. So I just thought, okay, Lord, maybe I'm not hearing from you, you know? I mean, the ball game's going on. Chris and I are having a great conversation. All sorts of things are happening. So I thought, maybe I'm just not hearing. So then we go to the concession stand, Chris and I do. And I see kids' hot dogs, just a little over a dollar. And I said, what do those hot dogs look like? They show me, they're like the regular hot dogs you and I normally get at a ballpark. I mean, they're nice size. They're not teeny weeny ones. You know, they're nice size hot dogs. And I thought, I did the calculation in my head. Hey, I can do this, Lord, if it's your will. So I said to the woman, I said, yeah, I mean, these guys are from Ukraine. They don't have hot dogs over there. You see what I mean? So I said, can I get 41 hot dogs? Her eyes got big as silver dollars. Now, I need to give you a little bit of backstory, because a lot of the people that work these concession stands are volunteers. I asked the woman when we first got there, I said, now, who are you all? She said, we're a 501c3. And I said, well, okay, but what are you? And what happens is, if you're a 501c3, you get a portion of the profits, okay? I said, who are you? She said, we're Christian warriors. I went, whoa! I said, I am too. So these African American ladies, all who lived in the city of Baltimore, bless their hearts, and they're Christian warriors. And when I told her 41 hot dogs, I know she was thinking, wow, that's gonna help us out. So it was a double blessing. So I ordered the 41 hot dogs. She said, you're gonna have to come back in about 20 minutes. So I came back and I come back to our seats with this big box full of 41 hot dogs and passed them out. And so these guys said, they said, we want to get a picture with you. They were so blessed. And, you know, some of them spoke more English than others. Even the best ones, it was broken. But I ended up speaking to the guy who was in charge. And I didn't even know he was there till the end. He was an American Coast Guard guy, Coast Guard lieutenant. And he said that... that they were here to pick up two Coast Guard boats that the U.S. had donated to the Ukrainian Navy and to take them back to the Ukraine. Isn't that cool? And he thanked me profusely. He said, you know, I wanted to show them a taste of America, and you've showed them American hospitality and blessed them. You know, so thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. But hot dogs, that's right. But that's what God wants us to be about, right? Isn't that it? Yeah, that's it. I mean, this isn't about me. It's about God's will for our lives, for every one of us, okay? So just in closing, this is what Fred shared a few weeks ago. I love this. Jesus came not only to bring salvation, but transformation. He came not only to save us for the next life, but to change us in this life. The world will only change to the degree we are changed. Keeping the commandments won't save us, but keeping them will what? Change us. And to the degree we are changed, we can change the world. Amen. Will you say amen with me? Stand with me, please. Amen. 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 Yeah, you can clap too if you want. That's okay. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the fact that you've called each and every one of us. You've called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And God, as we walk through this life together, we pray both collectively and individually that we'd walk according to your commandments, Lord, not doing that which we think is right or pleasing to us or that which is seems right in our own minds, but that which we know from your word and from the grace you've shown us is pleasing to you and is in accordance with your will. Lord, help each and every one of us. Help us to be the light to this world that you've called us to be that city set upon a hill, to be those men and women who are able to share the love, the grace, the forgiveness, the shalom, the peace, and the mercy of God our Father, his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and through and by the Holy Spirit we pray. And all this we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right.